Welcome, everybody, to another glorious episode of the Real Mentors Podcast. We're ready to talk some TV, movies, and, of course, as always, have some fun along the way. Join my two co-hosts, as always, starting with the man, our technical producer, the head of the girlslife.com studios, the man beast himself, Mr. Mike Rose.
Coming to you live for the first time from the girlslife.com. Man cave.
And a new man cave. That's right in the new location for girlslife.com studios.
Exactly.
Nice. You sound well. I like to see that.
I sound great.
Yeah, you look great, but you know, I can tell you look great, but I don't want to lie. That's not right. And of course, we got live from Houston, the man who loves Jon Snow so much. He was watching live the Harrington wedding. From I understand, he got married to What's-Her-Face from Game of Thrones show. Chewie, you want to introduce yourself and let us know how good the wedding was?
Was it everything
you ever dreamed it to be? Yeah.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, to my fellow Colombian brethren.
Ah,
si yes. Se puede.
Of course, of course.
Wedding schmedding. It's all about the World Cup.
Yeah, you're watching that wedding. Don't even go there. But of course, we are a little chipper because obviously the World Cup and yes, Colombia came through, you know, in the clutch, the much needed victory. You know, we still,
King James.
King James and company, you know, 3-0 over the Polish and dumb Polacks.
Some more fans there.
Hey, man, what can I tell you? It is what it is. When it comes to the World Cup, everybody's dumb except for your own team. But yeah, it was a good game, man. You know, we're enjoying the World Cup. I assume everybody's watching it. I know Mike.
I am wasting a lot of time watching it.
Wasting time is you're not enjoying it. You're watching so much, you just do nothing else.
No, I'm not doing anything else pretty much.
Basically. Actually, today I didn't see any of the games today. I was actually really busy at work, but
I was ahead of. You know, I have Wi-Fi at my work, so, and nobody from my work is listening to this, I hope, but, yeah, I was watching the whole thing.
Dude, everybody's watching at work. Well, not everybody's watching at work, but most of us are watching it at work. Whatever.
It is a company included?
It's 24 years that you got to do it every 4 years, so I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, come on.
Multitask.
Yeah, forget the Olympics, man. The World Cup is more entertaining than the Olympics.
That's right.
You know,
nobody likes the Olympics.
We're excited. It's always good. Well, no, they get some love. Not for me, but I know they get some love.
Not for me either.
But whatever. I know
the basketball. That's it.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's obviously. Well, at least we got this to kind of carry us over a few weeks in the summer away for football.
Yes.
You know, the other football, I guess. But no, Chew, I know you're excited. We got a game coming up on Thursday. We win, we advance.
Yes. Do or die once again. Estrés. No puedo. James, haz algo, por favor.
Exactly. Yeah, the pressure is on, if you will.
Falcao.
Awesome, Falcao. Awesome, Cuadrado.
Yeah,
it was an awesome game, man. A lot of stress, but a lot of excitement and going crazy. I love it. I love it. Every 4 years, man.
Yeah, it's good to get a win. Hopefully, they get to the next round. I mean, now things get, you know, interesting. This is the last week before the next round, before the teams that advance get determined, of course.
Yeah,
these teams are
knockout stage begins.
Yeah, exactly. So teams are now just vying for position, trying to one-up each other to see who advances to the next round. And which leads us to our first topic. I mean, speaking of one-upping each other, what happened? And at the forefront here, we have Disney versus Comcast, the mouse versus the overpriced cable provider.
Show me the money.
Show me them. Someone's getting paid.
Juan, baby.
I mean, we talked about this before, but you know, Disney trying to acquire the rights to the Fox properties. Of course, the initial bid was around $62 billion, more or less. A lot of stock options and yada yada yada. As I was saying, they went in with Disney was $52 million. They came over the top with $65 billion. It was a huge
all cash.
All cash.
Straight cash, homie.
The murder words.
Straight cash, homie.
Exactly. So that raised a lot of eyebrows. But then Disney's like, slow it down. They come right back over the top. Now they're bidding $75 billion. Most they increased their cash value instead of just stock options or whatever the case is that they have. So there's more cash up front with that deal. And reportedly, Comcast is going to come back over the top again. And I'm like, dude.
I thought Disney accepted the Fox accepted the revised Disney offer.
It's now up to vote to like July 10th or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
they can't choose. Fox can't choose.
It's the stockholders that choose.
It's the highest bid.
They're going to put it to a vote.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, stock out, no stock options. Is this too much? Is Fox even worth this, for Christ's sake? Are they worth $80 billion? I mean, really?
What is there? What powers they have other than the X-Men and the Fantastic Four?
I mean, things like Aliens, like it's Fox, you know, Predator. Like, those aren't huge franchises, but I mean,
no,
they got some decent stuff. I mean, I thought I had to look it up, but I mean, Predator, stuff like that. But I don't think they have like major, like they don't have any major besides the X-Men universe, which
the
is
Simpsons.
It's a big franchise. It's not, you know, it's not anywhere near Marvel, Star Wars, anything to that degree. But dude, it's just like, wow. I mean, I know this
all
whole
those
thing with
Married with Children reruns. And,
yeah, woohoo! you know, yay. I mean, they got American Idol. I don't know. They don't even want the TV stuff. They care less.
No, American Idol's ABC now, bro.
Oh, is it? Oh, look at that. Now it's definitely not worth any bit. Now it's worth like
$79 billion.
They had American Idol, yeah. But it seems like a lot. It's like, dude, these guys are going to task here. I know it's a rivalry, not between Disney and Comcast, but the two CEOs, whatever. I think Bob Iger and Brian Roberts is the other guy's name. They've had a long history of not liking each other. And I think, I don't know if they're all bidding out of spite. I think Comcast is just trying to make Disney fork over more money.
Overpay.
Dude, I think that's I think the $75 billion is almost half what Disney's worth. That's a big chunk of change for Fox. I mean,
I think it's a mistake. Let Comcast have it, but
I agree.
This is all the Fox properties, right? Including the TV arm, because they've got an established friggin' TV arm.
I think that the TV has to remain separately because of monopoly laws, whatever the case is. They can't buy the whole thing.
Because they already owe ABC?
Right, exactly. So the Fox, the TV remains separately, or they may sell it off
to somebody.
Right, something like that. So that's my understanding. Of course, there's a lot of T's and I's and even cross and dotted accordingly. But, dude, and like I said before, I'd rather Disney not get it. That's just me. But I mean, Comcast, I guess it's Comcast and Universal, right? Are they together? Am I?
Yes.
Okay, so. So they have some movie experience.
And NBC, Comcast though.
Where's NBC?
Oh, NBC, that's right. Is part of that shit.
Yes. Yeah. You're right. So they're pretty big. Yeah. I don't know who has a greater value. I know Comcast has deep pockets.
I know. Sorry, I keep stepping on you, man. No. Okay. I think that there's a bunch of, I just don't want Disney to get it. I don't want Disney to get it, man.
I don't either. I really don't.
I'm really annoyed by them right now, and I just don't. The way they screwed around with some of these properties, it's like fudge, you know?
I mean, Disney's great. Let me say that.
Great, but it's like, do they get everything? I mean, what the hell?
I mean, does anybody want Avatar that bad? I mean, is that what it
is? Avatar's so fucking terrible, man.
Does anybody want their hands in these 8,000 sequels coming out from James Cameron? I mean, do you really? Okay, all right.
By the way, supposedly that world in Disney's a sack of crap.
I heard otherwise. I haven't seen it, so I can't speak to it personally.
I don't know. If you got kids.
That's in what, Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, I heard the rides. Yeah, it's Animal Kingdom. I heard the rides really good. That's what I heard. Again, I haven't
seen it. No, it's good. But
yeah, I've heard for things. Like,
I mean, so the movies aren't worth $80 billion, and it's weird. I mean, I'm kind of curious to see. I mean, I just want to see what happens. Not, I mean, at the end of the day, whatever. But I mean, it's just like, dude, how much money are they gonna spend here? Right. I mean, because I figure if Comcast goes $80, whatever it is, I can't imagine Disney backing out now just out of pride.
Right.
I mean, I know. Like I said, these CEOs.
You know,
there's
gotta be. Do you think they have a price where they're like, you know what? I'm not gonna go to $93.6 billion.
I think there is.
It's got to be. I mean, you got to do an ROI. You're not going to spend money.
Right.
The hell of it.
I mean, if they're in for half of their current net worth right now, I mean, that's
just crazy.
That's kind of rough.
And that's a lot. That's a, for Fox, I mean, not, and I think from this perspective, it's not like they wanted the X-Men MCU and or, you know, Fantastic Four. They give a shit about that in the grand scheme of things. I think they really wanted to build a library. This is my understanding for the streaming service coming up next year. So they had like the Fox movies behind them that have more to offer in
a
streaming service.
There is a lot of Fox movies.
There is a lot of stuff. I mean, there is. I mean,
and besides the 25 every time. That's the thing. All that 20th Century Fox library.
But is that worth
that
dollars?
Ain't worth
no.
That ain't worth what you're willing to. You want to spend half your company's worth on old movies? That's what you're telling me.
Basically, I mean, there's potential. That's
what Disney wants, because they're already like reassessing the Lucas purchase, and that was just $4 billion.
Yeah, what kind of world do we live in where Fox is worth more than Star Wars? What am I missing here?
No, but they made.
They made
money on that Star Wars deal. They friggin' stole it.
That was on the cheap.
Yeah,
$4 billion. I'm sure they've already come close to meeting that in terms of the money they've gained and all that with merchandise and everything included.
No, they've already hit that number.
I'm sure they have. Well, they will very soon if they haven't. Whatever.
And if not, once a Disney park opens, it's over.
No, that's a wrap. I mean, that was a great investment. That was only $4 billion.
Money when you look at what the two, what eight, 7 and 8 pulled in. I mean, come on.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying, that's not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things. But
that was what, $2 billion? $2 billion, they got, what, 65 cents in a dollar? Because they don't get dollar for dollar.
No, they don't get dollar for dollar.
Money on parks. They're spending boo-foo money. And sorry to break it to you guys, but they haven't made their return on investment yet.
I don't think they have either. I mean, if you listen,
it's going to be close. There's also these other properties that they're going to be able to yank from Netflix for their streaming service. It's going to make the only thing is, I just don't know if their streaming service is going to make money. I don't know.
It's making money. The mouse doesn't know how to not make money, dude.
They didn't make money with ESPN, so yes, they do misstep from time to time.
The ESPN is a
sack
of crap.
And that's sports.
They've laid off like 76 talent.
And they're in defense. I think they just missed. They didn't calculate this change in air with how people watch TV nowadays and all that. That was just – it was a change of times. The streaming service is the future.
It's funny because ESPN is a victim of their own stupidity, right? ESPN didn't see the future, didn't see what was going on with podcasts and all this other stuff.
Of course.
The only guy that really had it going was Bill Simmons, and they fired his ass. So I mean, they're like, you know,
they were short-sighted.
They're still short-sighted. Now they're fiddling around with Stephen A. Smith doing a podcast. I mean, come on, really? The guy's got a TV show every day.
They're behind the times, though. I think that's why that didn't succeed. But again, the streaming service is the times now. So I think they're better positioned to succeed with the streaming service as opposed to buying ESPN. But either way. The mouse makes money. Let's not kid ourselves, right? They got tons of cash. I mean, if you can afford if they can afford $75 billion,
it's not like they hit every pitch they're hitting out of the park. I mean, come on.
Oh, of course not. But I would say they hit more than most companies.
People are funny about stuff they buy, right? So this Netflix thing, they kind of lucked into this. I mean, just kind of hit something at a time when people were ready to move into a new space, because the Blockbuster video format was already getting too old, right? You take out the Barney video for your daughter, she won't let you return it for like 3 weeks. You come back and have to pay $56 for a video. And I only really know that because that happened to me several times.
Obviously.
Sucker.
But I'm just saying. See.
No, of course. Yeah, but when I don't think Netflix got, are you talking about Netflix got lucky?
No, I think Netflix got lucky because they kind of found this streaming thing. Somebody sold this to them, and they bought it and went for it, and nobody was doing that at the time. And people grabbed it. It's luck.
No, because, I mean, they really marketed well, and that company has evolved a lot.
How many other streaming services are out there that are Hulu,
that's what I'm saying.
Amazon Prime? But you know, I like Amazon Prime. I like Hulu, but I'm just saying that they're
I'm with you. It ain't luck.
It's not luck. It's not luck.
It's finding the right technology and reading the market and making the
right
investment
at the right
and committing
time,
to
doing
it.
The right thing.
I mean,
because it started with the video, the red envelopes, right? Yeah. And then they saw, well, the technology is evolving, habits are changing, and then they'd rather stream than go to the store or even get the envelopes. I still get the envelopes, but most of my time is spent on downloading content online. And then now they're committing to, okay, people are going to start, they don't want to see old movies. They want original, high-level content. Mm-hmm. And that's what's bringing the eyeballs, the dollars.
That was a friggin' experiment, right? They decided to make their own shows.
Right, but that's not luck. That's having good foresight.
Planning and execution.
Yes. No, but it's having some sack too and some luck. I mean,
I mean, they took risks, but I mean,
House of Cards is what broke them.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying they saw the market was going. They knew that they couldn't sustain that business, right? So they had to make a change. And they did, and they made they're making right decisions. Even when people started crying, complaining, it used to be where you pay for the envelopes and you get the streaming service mm-hmm. included. And when they separated it and charged people two different fees, everybody went crazy. Oh my God, Netflix is going down.
End of the world.
How could they do that? And all of a sudden, genius. Because now people just, you know what, let's just pay for the streaming service. The DVDs were becoming archaic, the dinosaurs even. And they had the foresight to see that before anybody understood what the streaming service was. So it wasn't luck. I don't think it was luck. I just think they could have lucked into getting the service, but how they built it, how they developed it, evolved. I think
there's luck
planning.
There too. I just think it's luck. There's some luck there too. You don't get successful in business without luck.
A small degree, but anybody, I mean, you can get two different people the same idea.
It is always right.
But there's
place,
probably
right
another
time.
Dude out there doing the same thing at the same time, and they didn't get a break.
I love Netflix. I love the model because they've always evolved and they're still changing now. And as I'm saying, that's not luck. Like at Disney, that's not luck either. They know what they're doing.
You. I love Netflix. I've been a member for years and years and years and years and years and years. Mm-hmm. That being said, I think that they're pushing themselves into a corner. We talked about this a lot. I think that Netflix is at a point where they can't make much more money unless they change their format to like a tier system similar to what HBO Go does.
I can't speak to that. I trust what they're doing, and I think they know that. And I think they'll make tons of money. If you got 100 and whatever million subscribers at $10 a month, and that's probably more than that, to be honest with you, that's $100 million a month that they're making. They're raking in. And I know that's gross. I get it. But, dude, that's a lot of money.
Paying for all kinds of properties, dude.
Of course.
This Marvel
but you can afford
you think
it.
It's free?
I know, but they can afford it. You got to spend money and make money.
Because they're cutting back on their licensing.
Exactly.
And they're going full original.
Exactly.
So they're keeping all the cash.
Yeah, and they're getting more subscribers, and the subscriberships increasing. They can raise. Exactly.
If they've got, what's their base? At least 300 million worldwide, at least? Maybe
it's
lowballing it?
No, you're highballing. It's a little bit less as far as tourists. But either way, I think last I checked, late last year, it was like 115, 120 million. I mean, I can look it up, but whatever.
Worldwide
subscribers.
But that include the U.S.? That sounds low.
I believe the U.S. too. That's what I read. I mean, I can check on whatever. But either way.
I will Pikachu it right now.
Take a look at it. But let's assume it on the low end, it's $100 million.
You're wrong. I like pointing out my brother's wrong from time to time.
Anyway, no, I'm just not. I'm not saying that they suck. I'm not saying they're going to blow up in a fiery fireball. But I think
they're making tons of money, though.
I think there might be a point you get to where that you aren't making money. I don't know.
I mean, that's with anything, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think it's just because streaming is the way to the future. I think they should be fine for a while. You know, streaming is the way to go. And it's just a matter of competing with Disney, competing with the.
I think with Amazon Prime. The product they're supplying us is amazing. And, you know, we'll see. And you know, Disney comes with their streaming service. And if they're going to charge what I think they're going to charge for it, I think a lot of people turn their nose up at it.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I'm curious to see what the pricing model is. We don't even know that yet. I'm sure they'll announce that later this year and whatever. We'll discuss that once we have some hard data as far as, okay, this is the pricing, the tiering. What do we get for this stuff? And we can discuss that more because right now we're just guessing what they're going to cost, right?
No, you're right. But, you know, that's what makes this an interesting conversation, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. And we'll continue this once we have – once Disney announces this, we'll definitely talk about it because I'm curious how much are they charging here? What are we getting? What content's being released early? We're all going to be super interested in that, of course, because streaming is big. And this is the way of the future. But, I mean, it was kind of leads me to my next topic here because I know – the movie, I mean, I know I've read an article, the movies, people going to the movies, the theater is down. It's been going down for the last few years. I mean, chalk it up to competition, chalk it up to streaming services, for example, and people got more things to do with their time, blah, 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 higher ticket prices and all that stuff for theaters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I think higher ticket prices are a bigger part of it than they want to admit.
Probably so, and I think that Hollywood's really shooting themselves in the foot by keep raising these prices. Yeah, These big movies are making tons of money, right? We know Marvel's raking it in. Jurassic World opened 150. It's going to make $1 billion in its sleep and blah, blah, blah. But that's only the big tempo movies. All these other movies are getting swallowed up and, you know, because of it. And although they're making a lot of money, it's because the ticket sales, I think, the ticket prices have gone up. The individual tickets sold have actually gone down. So they're trying to subsidize it by increasing the tickets and try to offset, you know, the people who aren't going to the theater by charging more people for those who are going to the theater. And which brings up this whole movie pass thing. Here we go.
We're talking about the movie pass versus AMC deal from this week.
Yeah, we got people that are trying to one up each other here.
Very interesting.
It's very interesting because obviously we have movie pass. We know what the model has been recently. You know, $10 a month, whatever it is. You get to see a movie every day, but you can't buy tickets online. You can't go to the premium like the IMAX, the 3D, or Dolby Digital, et cetera, et cetera. There's restrictions on MoviePass, and that's a very shady company. But now here, AMC is like, AMC's like, you know what? Forget this. What are we doing? So, you know, here we go. You know, we'll offer our own subscriber-based movie-going experience, I guess. I think for theirs, it's going to be $20, which is twice as much, but you get to buy advanced tickets with no fee. You can buy tickets online. You can see the same movie more than once, which MoviePass does not allow you to do. And it includes IMAX, Dolby Digital, 3D. So you get all these premium movies, which cost like $18, almost $20 anyway, to go see. So now, and get discounts and food and blah, 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 plus the whole Stubbs point system, all that stuff. So although you're paying twice as much, you're getting more bang for your buck. And they're like, you know what? Now MoviePass is going to respond that they're going to do something similar, like a tier system as well, depending if you want to go to like an IMAX theater or whatever the case is. So now they're trying to come back at it, and I don't know how this can last. I don't see how MoviePass even sustains this model to begin with, to be honest with you.
I think they are quickly running out of cash.
They're in trouble.
They're bleeding.
Yeah.
Did you hear that story about something to do with them and the movie Gotti?
Oh, I'm gonna get to that. I have that on tap. Oh, no, yeah.
Sorry, dude.
That.
I mean, a spoiler.
No.
Spoiler alert, kids.
Spoiler alert. But we're going to get to that because that's funny stuff. I knew you wouldn't do it because you got a family. It's too expensive, and you probably go to theaters once a month, right? I mean.
Yeah, family of four. So you're talking about $80 to go as many movies as you want in a month, you know, over 12 months. I mean, do I really want to spend almost $1,000 on movies? I don't want to see that many movies.
That's ridiculous.
Because, I mean, how many animated films come out? I mean, kids are young, so you're still taking to see those for the most part. So what, you got maybe one every couple of months, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, we do. But, I mean, like in the summer, I mean, like we've seen two movies this month so far. But, I mean, this is obviously unusual. Right. It's not the movies you want to see that, you know, summertime, yes. But fall, not many. Spring, you know, a couple. But, yeah, not worth it. Not worth, you know, for a family of four.
Of course not. But, I mean, Mike, maybe for you. It's just for people who go at least.
I think these are
doomed
to fail. Honestly, I don't think either one is going to is sustainable. Honestly,
I just think AMC is trying to stick it to MoviePass because MoviePass trying to stick it to them. This is what this is about. Because MoviePass, the whole basis for my understanding, they were trying to get deals cut with the theater, saying, "Listen, we're bringing in all this business for you. Give us a cut." They want a cut of the concessions. They wanted a cut. And AMC's like, "Kiss my ass." Basically, what they're saying. And AMC
would,
almost
if you
cut
own
up
a theater, would you want to do that? That's the only way you can make money. You don't get any of the gate anymore there. The theater gets no part of the gate.
They get very minimal amount. It comes from a concession stand. So I get where MoviePass is coming from. But at the end of the day, they weren't bringing that many people into the theaters to begin with. AMC's like, we're not paying you guys. And hey, you know what? We'll make Encore. We'll increase competition. Because what's going to happen? Regal's going to be like, oh, AMC's doing this? Well, okay. Let's do it too. Right. Monkey see, monkey do.
It's going to put MoviePass doing it, out of business.
Yeah. Exactly. We're out of business. And AMC can go back to what they normally do. Overall, I think this is good. The subscription, I thought, can really work to drive business back to the theater. Because you pay $20 a month, but if you see just two movies and watch them in Dolby Digital, which is the best way to watch them, you're saving money, essentially, right?
You are, but otherwise, honestly, outside of you, who goes to more than two movies a month?
You'd be surprised, man. I mean, a lot of people do screenings that they got MoviePass and they go all the time. They go all the time. Oh, my God, yeah. They go because... Not because they do this before. It's because it's only $10, so it just like let's go to the movies. It's free. Essentially, is what they're saying. I get it. It is free, right? So now I'm going to watch a movie I probably never have watched in the theater because it's free now. Okay, let me go catch a movie on a Tuesday afternoon or on a Wednesday. The other people I know that I've talked to, they go during the week. Nothing else to do. It's free. Essentially, they go check out a couple movies that they normally won't go see because they weren't going to pay full price for it. So I think it does work and it does drive business to the theaters. How much, I don't know, obviously. I don't have those numbers. I don't think they do.
I was reading something on Reddit about this, and somebody's complaining about MoviePass, saying that when they waited in line, it was a week after Infinity War came out, they were waiting to get in the movie, and they couldn't get it. Then they tried to let the customer service line know, and nobody ever got back to them, not till the next day.
They're because MoviePass sucked. Because MoviePass is a terrible company. they're shady as hell, which leads us into this Gotti situation. You know, I mean, I think it's hilarious. Now, those who haven't heard, first of all, Gotti. Who thought that was going to be good? I mean, let's get realistic. First of all, John Travolta has got really John. Terrible.
By the way, one of the producers of the movie is stuttering John Melendez from the Howard Stern Show. So there you have that.
For real?
Good Lord.
That says it all. Stuttering right. John Travolta. What do we expect here? So it got destroyed on Rotten Tomatoes with a whopping 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's funny because MoviePass, speaking of producers, they have a stake in the movie. They're getting into the movie business, so to speak. Like Animals is another movie that came out, a small movie. They have a stake in Gotti. So obviously they're gonna push the movie because it's makes sense. They put money into it. They gotta get money back. The movie bombed. It made like $1.3 million, which is basically means 10 people saw it. Not surprised. So I guess MoviePass, and I guess it's funny that I mentioned MoviePass was responsible for 40% of that in terms of the tickets sold. Because they were pushing it, obviously. They have an interest in the movie. I mean, so it was like, which doesn't make sense to me because like, listen, so MoviePass essentially you're saying. You pay to make the movie, and now you're paying. Yeah, you're paying people to go watch. It's like, how do you make money? That business model is. It's. By the way, so the whole thing is that they, I guess, MoviePass started complaining because Rotten Tomatoes had a 0% score on this, and they're saying, I'm paraphrasing, they released some campaign like, oh, the critics don't know what they're talking about. Audiences love Gotti. Okay. And there was they were trying to compare the zero to the positive rating they got on the reviews on the user reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, how they were completely contradicting what the critics were saying. The critics are trolls behind a computer, blah blah blah, and that's how they were setting the movie. So I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, so I'm doing some reading on this, and lo and behold, I call bullshit. So I went on there, and yes, it's got currently a 53%. User rating. That's not great. I think it was I think it was in the 60s or 70s, like a week ago. And so someone dug deep and I read an article this guy read. He started digging deep into this, all these quote unquote user reviews and the positivity of these reviews. And he noticed that the majority of them, of these accounts, were never had put in a review before. It was the first time. And a large percentage of them just opened an account this month. how convenient. And he was saying it's weird because he's like, wait a minute. There's like 7,000 user reviews for Gotti, a movie that made $1.3 million. And there's 9,000, not a whole lot much more, for like The Incredibles 2, which made $180 million. Even Ocean's 8, I think, had like 6,000 or something. And those actually got positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, the critics. So I'm like, so you're saying that 7,000 people actually reviewed this movie? Yeah. Okay. Right. So now everybody's it's clear that MoviePass set up all these fake accounts so they can bump up the user reviews and take advantage of Rotten Tomatoes has a real shitty system, first and foremost.
Shame. Yes.
Agreed.
Shame.
Total shame. MoviePass, really? Wow, inflating the. Is anybody going to believe that Gotti got good reviews? Get the fuck out of here. I don't want to call Gotti. John Travolta.
John Travolta was spectacular as the Diaper Don.
Oh, God. It's funny. I had a friend who actually went to go see it for free. And, you know, I don't trust his opinion all the time, but he comes back saying, so I was like, dude, was it that bad? He's like, bro, the movie's terrible, bro. I was like, why? He's like, dude, it's a movie about Gotti and no one died. And I was like, okay. That's fair. It's a gangster movie, but a gangster
who no doesn't
kill anybody. Okay.
That's hilarious.
0%. 0%. There you go. Either way.
Speaking of, I brought up Scarface. Have you guys finished Goliath yet?
No. I haven't gone beyond the 4 episodes.
Oh, why? Still? Oh,
don't say anything.
I'm on 6. I don't want to say anything. We'll talk about it at the end.
6? Oh, no, you're one episode away. Okay.
No, okay. I feel I'll a certain just, kind
I'll
of
just
way
say
about it.
That there is a surprise
don't
Scarface
say anything.
Cameo.
Okay. Leave it at that.
7. I'll leave it at that.
Leave it at that, yeah. I want to get back. I'll get back to that weekend.
I mean, we had Lou Diamond Phillips, and here's another surprise little cameo in this season of Goliath.
These guys got to eat. Whoever it is, got to eat.
They got to eat. Talk about it next time when you see it.
You can't afford movie passes. You know, you got to get any job you can. But let's move on here. Star Wars. We talked about this a little bit off air last week. They had, because I think that the news dropped right as we were doing one of the shows last week. And they mentioned that, I guess, it was reported that Star Wars was putting any plans for these standalone movies on hold. Whether it be Ben Kenobi, whatever potential franchise,
Boba Fett,
or whatever.
Joker.
Well, yeah, the Star Wars Joker movie coming out, you know, with Mark Hamill, okay, appropriate enough. That would be kind of cool. But apparently, I read another story saying, oh, no, they're not doing that. I guess they'll kind of backtrack, you know, information leaked, and they're trying to, you know, what do you call that, damage control situation. But this true that they're
reminding the stories that they were trying to push out Solo to Christmas actually instead of doing it Memorial Weekend.
They should have pushed out the Christmas 2035.
They should have.
but whatever. I mean, so here, let's assume this is true. And okay, fine. They're canceling all standalone movies. What? Who's got a take on it? Is this good? This is exactly what we wanted to see here. I mean, do we want to see standalone movies? Honestly,
no. Well, I mean, the movie.
I want to see Obi-Wan Kenobi movie.
No interest. Well, your present company excluded. I had no interest in seeing Boba Fett. I have no interest in seeing Obi-Wan Kenobi. I have no interest in these ideas that they were throwing out there as far as just trying to milk the Star Wars universe for every stinking dollar to try to get it out of me. I want original.
Let's
stories,
throw in the Sarlacc
good
pit.
Stories, good movies.
Yeah, and I agree too. I mean, I don't know if they're being reactionary or not, which is not always a good. Again, this is what DC
does.
They're
being reactionary.
It's just funny how they're so parallel, these companies.
Right.
At least the studios. I mean, maybe I don't know if it's reactionary or not. Maybe it is. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe the Solo didn't do well, and then they're all panic mode. Let's cancel everything. I'm glad because I don't want to see again Kenobi and all the other stuff. I'm with you. I'm with Chewie on that one. At least not right now.
There's no sense of showing bad money after good, man. I mean, you know, learn from your mistakes, reassess,
look,
see what the audience wants to
here's
see,
the problem.
And deliver on that.
You have somebody who's, in essence, not a fan managing the continuity of the property. I have a problem with that.
No, I agree. And I think, that, again, it goes back to Kathleen Kennedy, what we talked about. And
right.
We'll see if she gets canned or gets dropped, whatever.
should be.
I think so, and I think that that may come down the pipeline. I mean, they put this. I don't think they're making any other announcements to Star Wars Celebration that's coming up next year, like in April. I'm sure we'll get the trailer for Episode 9 to get everybody kind of excited again, because they need a win here, big time. I mean, they need to win more, and DC needs a win. That's how bad it is right now.
Here's the deal: if Kevin Feige was running Star Wars, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Oh, agreed. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So, Kevin Feige, whether you love the Marvel or not, whatever, the plan is always. And my biggest thing about what I like Marvel so much is they have a plan set in place. Right? Not everything hits, but they always stick to the plan. They're not reactionary. This is their vision. This is what they're going to do. And they do a very good job of it. Star Wars needs. Netflix. Yeah. Yes. It's not lucky.
It's not luck.
Lucasfilm's not unlucky. They just hired the wrong person. And I think you need to get someone in there who knows who loves. You're right, Mike. That loves Star Wars. Number one, understand
right, Star Wars. Dave Filoni. Right, thank you.
Yeah, and get a plan and has a plan, because right now there's no plan. And them canceling these movies just shows there was no plan. That's just what it is. Okay.
Well, the other thing is, like, so they're looking at the dailies and they decide that they're going to just fire Lord Miller. Okay, not that it. What they were doing was shitty. Maybe it was. I don't know. Maybe it was great. Who knows? Maybe it was just funny. What's wrong with doing a movie that has some comedy in it? I mean, really?
I agree. I just think Kathleen. I mean, listen. You're right. I mean, it goes back to that person who's applying for all these jobs, and they're like, and they see the guy they has so many jobs, and like, oh, and the guy keeps saying, oh, the boss sucks. I had to leave. Eventually, it ain't the bosses. It's you. And right. Kathleen Kennedy, she's firing like three or four directors. You know, these directors, it's her. It's obvious. I mean, you can fire one. Sure, it happens.
You know, I think.
I think that
Larry Kasdan has way too much influence in Lucasfilms. Okay, there's just no other way to put it. Him and his son wrote this friggin' treatment on Solo, and when they saw it was going a little off course, he started whispering in Kathleen Kennedy's ear, and the next thing you know, Lord Miller are out.
Well, it goes beyond that, because, like, I mean, she had issues with Gareth Edwards in Rogue One. They had issues with Abrams. Abrams was able to overcome that, but there was issues, reported issues on set. They had issues with, obviously, Lord Miller. Then they had issues with Colin Trevorrow even before he started filming Episode 9, because they didn't like what he was doing. Or she didn't like it, or whatever direction it is. So, again, it's not the directors. It's her. You're the one that's hiring, and why are you hiring them if you don't like their vision? You know what I'm saying? This kind of thing should be sorted out before you hire a director. Like, what are you going to do with this movie? What's your plan? I mean, you can't look at dailies and when it's 80% done and say, no, I don't like it.
But that goes back to my continuity issue, okay? They have somebody running the continuity of this freaking brand that doesn't have any stake in it.
No, you're right. Yeah, she's not a fan. She's a movie producer, you know, and that's all she is. And she knows, and she's done good stuff. She's done shitty crap, but she's done a lot of good stuff. But she's not a Star Wars person at the end of the day. So let's see what happens with that. I mean, whatever. I know, as far as Ben Kenobi, now I hear rumors today that he is going to show up in Episode 9. Okay. And they're considering doing the Kenobi standalone movie as part of the streaming service. Is that better? I mean,
with streaming, you know, kind of like how
it'll draw people out.
Yeah, like with Netflix, you know, there's like people who will see, won't pay for Adam Sandler movie, but we'll see one, present company included.
Mike.
but he didn't pay. He poor got the money, but he still watched it, right? So it'll bring eyeballs, and I think it's better suited. If you want to throw in these prequels and these other things that are not really movie, big screen material, by all means, go for it. You know,
I think if you can do a standalone movies, put them on streaming service. I think that's a much better idea.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're gonna do like we were joking about earlier off radio here, we're like, oh, Star Wars is all right, you know, we're laughing about it like we did last week, and you know, you can do all right in streaming service, yeah, like Netflix does. Netflix, a bunch of them movies are.
You don't think it up. You're gonna spend your money. You can send your couch, pop it in midnight, pop it in 3 p.m, whatever. Catch it. Okay, you liked it, great. You like it? Well, next one.
Exactly.
Right. People have nice things to say about Bright, right? Because Bright was just okay. But, you know, it was a pretty good movie, but it probably wouldn't have made any money in the box office if it would have been released as a theater release.
I think it could have had a decent opening weekend because it looked like a sci-fi. It usually does well. And Will Smith, he's still a draw to some degree. But either way, I don't think it would have been a big, it would have been a big, huge After monster Earth. Movie, and it would have tanked the following weeks. I think either way. But I think, yeah, if you know what, they're gonna do that. That makes more sense. Do a standalone movies, use the streaming service to your advantage. We got the Jon Favreau produced the series coming out on Star Wars related on the streaming service. Why not do his movies mm-hmm. there? Just keep these major trilogies on a big screen. Make it special, right? Make it every couple of years. We're not seeing a movie every damn 6 months. I don't want to see that.
Don't make it odd. Make it spectacular. Yeah,
and make exactly right. that. This is Star Wars, for Christ's sake. I mean,
maybe want to go see it every year or every 2 years or whatever schedule they want to go.
Exactly. We want this Galaxy Far. I think you mentioned earlier, Galaxy Far, Far Away. It's aight.
That's
cool.
Galaxy over there, it's meh.
I'll stay in this galaxy and get meh. I can stay here and watch Netflix and get meh. You know what I mean? I don't need to go Galaxy right. Far, Far Away to see all this. So I'm kind of curious to see what the announcements are for that. And I think next, by April, we're going to know a lot. We'll have a lot to dissect. I think they're going to announce a lot of stuff coming out. Because I think next year, the streaming service drops in the second half of the year, I think. Yes. Yeah. So I can't wait for that. Last thing with moving, I had to throw this in there. It's almost... It was like a what the fudge to some degree. You guys have heard of the movie coming out, Mile 22?
Yes. With Mark Wahlberg and director, what's that guy's name?
Peter Berg, who...
Yeah, Peter Berg again, teaming up again.
Yeah, well, like the Patriots Day was good. And
Horizon.
The Horizon was good. And,
I like Horizon. That was good.
It was really good. Really good. Lone Survivor, another good one.
I like that one too,
So they work well together.
They work well together. They know each other. Yeah, they get the good work out of each other.
They do. He makes good movies. They're not, oh my God, they're better than Han Solo. But they're good movies. And of course, everyone has Aiko Uwe, who is a guy from The Raid who I love. I want to see him do these kind of movies. So the trailer was okay. They put the movie up a week or whatever. By the way, some movies coming out. No one's seen it, obviously. And all of a sudden, I see a story. Oh, Mile 22 hiring writer for the sequel. Huh? Wait, what? Sequel?
All right.
Can we at least see the first one first?
Putting the cart in front of the horse there.
Okay, whoa, slow it down. Go round.
Roll there, brother.
What? Mile 22? Already a sequel? Really? I mean, this...
Hold on. Now, it could be ended up being a great movie.
It could be great. Don't get me wrong. Maybe they have a lot of confidence in it, but
who looks like a fool now, brother?
I mean... I hope it's great.
Brother, but one.
Yeah, so you're right. This may be a great movie, but we don't know yet. And I'm like, and like I said, it's not gonna make. I don't think see this movie making big bucks to warrant a sequel. Maybe it does. But damn, dude, slow down, dude. I mean, does everyone wants to be James Cameron? Do we really want to see eight Avatars?
Slow your roll.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Slow. I mean. Don't get me wrong, and by August 18th, I might be saying, I can't wait for the sequel. Yeah, I don't know, maybe. And I hope so. I want everybody to be good. I'm just saying, it's just a little excited, a little premature, if you will.
Right.
Stay tuned.
That's all I'm saying. Let's go into some TV stuff. Just we'll talk about two things only, a couple of things. One, let's do the Westworld. Obviously, the finale was last night. Mike, did you happen to catch it or no?
No, I'm down too.
That's fine. We can kind of dance around the issue here. I don't want to get...
Man, dude. Earmuffs.
Hear this, dude. So, Kathleen Kennedy apparently was producing this show. I'm just kidding. it was a 90-minute special. Whatever. 90-minute length. And...
Very dense.
This took place in the galaxy far, far away because it was aight. I mean...
We diverge on our opinion of this episode, maybe of the show as a whole. I don't care. I was all right.
It was all right. I mean, was it that good? Did you find it that good? The finale.
I thought it was. I mean, I think it ended on a high note. Yes. I was entertained, and I was like, you know, it had enough. Obviously, it was a very, very dense ending to the season.
At least.
Yeah, you kind of wish maybe that spread it out a little bit, but you know, be that as it may,
it's not terrible. It's fine. The problem is the show. It tries to outsmart itself too much. They could have just. This wasn't
trying to be too meta.
They're just trying to put all these twists and all this timeline narrative that's going on. That they're going back and forth. It was just. It does nothing but confuse anybody, and it doesn't add anything to the story. If you would have told this straightforward, if you just would take him in Arnold, this is where he's at. I did this. This happened. So I did this. And instead of going to telling the story in different sections, and you got to put it together unnecessarily. And I go, okay, cool, we are. Oh, my God, look. Hey, this is what happened. And
yeah, I think because it worked last season.
Exactly.
But you know, I think they went back to the well a little bit too much. Yes. Yeah, where I would have preferred if you have multiple timelines, they have to converge to a point, right?
Thank you.
It all comes together, and it kind of did and it didn't because there was still a lot of I see the complaint. Yeah. I don't mind
unanswered questions. I don't have anything to be answered. I'm fine with that, but just present it a way so I understand what the questions are need to be answered, as opposed to me just trying to figure out the answers and the questions.
Yeah.
And it was just so much going on there. And like, it was just like, oh my God. And for what? It took a second to digest. Like, dude, what happened? What am I watching? It's like, okay. I was watching
DVR. Go back and watch it again to fully digest everything that happened.
Well, right. And we, I don't think we should have to do that ultimately, right?
No. For the lay fan, no, but right. The hardcore fan, yeah, you want to, you know, get every minutia, every detail. Yeah,
exactly. But that's just, again, the minutia, the detail, not the story itself. And like, okay, what happened here? Like, what? When did this happen? And it was almost too much going on. And I don't think it came together really well. Even like the last scene, the post-credit scene. It was a post-credit scene, Mike, obviously. Well, not obviously, but the post-credit scene at the end of everything with reflecting on the man in the black hat, the Harris character. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, it just like comes out of nowhere. It didn't fit in with anything else.
Well, I mean, I think it didn't have proper context of what that is, because it was, many people took it as confirmation of a theory.
No, I didn't.
I didn't. I mean, a lot of reviews that I read, a lot of things I heard today, and they were saying, that was the aha. I'm like, no it wasn't, because I read an interview with Ed Harris. And it cover years, Mike. Spoiler alert. That scene actually happened. This cover years for 2 seconds. That scene actually happened 30 years into the future. The
future, exactly.
Where the episode ended. I don't want to say, I don't know what's future, what's past, but it wasn't meant to be. So it was presented where people thought, oh, that's what happened when he went inside the forge. I was like, no. It was not meant to be. This was someplace in the future.
Exactly.
Out there. Yeah. Which you know, so with that, now that you have that context, because remember, throughout the season, human consciousness into the host could not get it to work, and this is kind of get a glimpse saying they finally figured it out at some point, 30 years out,
potentially. But they could
potentially,
but they could have done that down the road and really built that up, you know, where now he's whatever he's in, and like he's a host, not a host, not whatever.
There's still the mystery of what happened when he got up, went into the forge. So there's a gap there,
which is fine. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Just fine.
Exactly. He
didn't die. He was alive, and they found him. And right. He's there.
That last scene was unnecessary. It's just like it's for the sake of giving us like a wild moment.
Easter. Yeah.
It's just like and it caused more confusion because like people. Yeah. There was no context to it, so people were like, what the hell is that? That's what I'm saying. It was.
So I tried to get, oh, he was a host.
It's like, no, it's what I'm saying. They try to outsmart everybody, outsmart the show, and outsmart the audience. And it's like, dude,
I was completely happy and understood, you know, the context of when it went into Logan or the Logan character.
That was cool. Designer, I like that.
And his explanation of how they're trying to create consciousness or transfer human consciousness and whereas purchase is actually very simple, right? As opposed to the artificial consciousness that arose, not because of his work, but he was just tasked with get a human brain into a host, right? And I appreciated it. I understood it. I was like, okay. And all this was starting to make sense to me and coming together at that point with now to understand how they went through 18 million virtual iterations of Delos before they attempted to put him for real, and obviously couldn't get to work. And the little flash where I think we're really confused here, because when they went through that sequence, you saw the men in black, you know, going through a fidelity test virtually in that environment.
Yeah.
And I think that's what led, people tried to make the connection. Oh, that must have been it. And I was like, no, that's a completely thing. That was a virtual. Oh, Jesus. completely virtual, nothing to do with reality and what was going on in the real world.
Exactly. No, and that part was cool. I like that, and how where the show is going. I'm not sure if I like that, but we'll see once again. Yeah.
The
presented.
I like the whole, you know, Dolores twist, Dolores slash Hale.
Yeah, that was fine. I mean, I wish it would have been done better, but yeah, the twist itself is fine. The whole Maeve thing is still a waste of time. Was a waste of time.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a whole nothing. There's no big payoff there. It's
him, I actually.
So like, now that you've spoiled the whole friggin' show for me.
Not really. It's not cool.
I'm going to go watch the Great British Baking Show, and you guys can all go fuck off.
You like Mike? You don't mind spoilers anyway. Who are you kidding?
No, I'm just messing with you.
No, but it have its issues. Yes, the season had its issues. The show has its issues. Does it have compelling story? Yes. Would I appreciate more traditional linear? Yeah, throw in maybe a few twists and maybe throw in some flashbacks, but don't make it the central theme of where you're trying to figure out what's present, what's past, what's future simultaneously. That will turn people off. Cause and it has turned people off.
Of course, because you lose the essence of what it's trying to present you, because it's trying to give you too much. You can't process what it's trying to sell to you.
Just from what you guys
focus
are saying,
on everything else.
Yes.
That I think they're just trying to be too smart.
Of course. That's what I said. Yeah, I agree.
It's
I
like, mean, that's how, you know.
Yeah.
I hope season 3 goes to a more traditional, more linear storytelling with characters that we care about. Now we know, now we know the characters we're going to follow. We're following Bernard. We're following Dolores. And maybe the Man in Black, you know, cut back on the all these artificial characters that really didn't add much and see where it goes from there.
Well, I did hear Jonathan Nolan, who one of the co-writers of the show, he talked about it's going to take – they're not going to focus that much on the I don't know what they call it, on the parks anymore.
No, that's done.
Well, they said
there might be some, but it's
he said, he said it wasn't done, but it's going to be focusing more on the world that they're in now, not supposed to answer Mike. But he did say, unfortunately, it's going to be it's going to be another couple of years before you see the show. He says it's going to be a long while, which is whatever. I mean, it's fine. they're not going to put next year because Game of Thrones is going to be on, and that's the flagship show, and they want all the attention there. They don't want to put the two flagship shows in the same year, which I understand that.
We waited 2 years, like, and they didn't detract from me wanting to watch the
flagship
show.
And the half mast.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's what they have. The other one, I know Mikey haven't started. We'll talk briefly too much into this, but Luke Cage, I saw 1.5 episodes so far.
Sweet Christmas.
Chewie, he's very sane now. Chewie saw like 3 or 4 episodes or whatever.
2 episodes. I watched another episode tonight. And so far, like I said, it's only 2 episodes in, but so far I'm more in the positive review that I read versus the negative review that I read about the show. So far.
I'm in the middle. I mean, like I said, I'm only seeing an episode and a half. First episode was cool. The first, second one, I haven't gotten the payoff yet, so I reserve judgment. It's fine. I mean, like I said, it looks cool. I mean, you know, I like where it's going. Whatever that's worth. I mean, Mike, you haven't started yet. I'm sure you'll start soon. I want to at least try to get 4 episodes, and we can talk about halfway point.
Or maybe sure, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so
maybe
far,
next
so good.
Week.
Yeah, so far, so good. Like I said, it's not horrible. It's not IGN. It's AGN. IGN review.
No, they butchered it badly.
But I mean, again, you know, to be fair, we haven't seen the whole thing, so maybe it's terrible the second half, like the first season was, right? I mean,
yes.
Well, yeah, you never know.
It's possible. I mean, you know, hey, even Iron Fist was at first.
I do appreciate, obviously, I'm too overzoomed, but if you pay attention to the dialogue, it's got some good comedy in there, man. It's got some great comedy. Comedy gold.
Oh, no, it does.
Gold, Jerry, it's gold.
More than,
season 1
wasn't, but season 1, but so far, dude, I mean, in the second episode, it's got some great lines. When you guys hopefully pay attention and listen, you'll catch it. We can kind of talk about it, the mid-season review.
It seems like it's going for a little lighter tone, not a whole lot.
It's
a little
fine. Yeah, nothing wrong with it, but lighter. It's still some serious issues and develop they're going through, but, you know, add a few lines that just kind of, they kind of stick on, like, make you laugh along the way. It's good.
No, like I said, I'm curious how the show goes. And I want to watch Goliath as well. I want to talk about that next. We'll talk about next time. Yes. Like I said.
Okay.
You said you saw 4 episodes and it wasn't as good as the first season through the first episodes. Yeah. But I understand now why there wasn't this is obviously season 1 was case-centric and this one is not. This is not on the, there's no case that's carrying this one like it was season one, but it does end on a much higher note. And so it does come back up on the second half of the season.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. I mean, I hope so, man. I think it's pretty good.
And there's no happy ending in this one, unlike season one.
Well, that spoiler, dude.
Oh, ready? Sorry. Oops.
Thanks
sorry.
So much.
Oh my God, dude. Chewie's the worst, dude. Is there a mute button? We need a mute button for Chewie.
We have to have a dump button.
Is that trade going through?
You know, listen, Bolivar throwing dies, but it dies in a nice way. Oh, you know. It's well done. You know.
Sorry. That's your fault.
And obviously, Chewie as a high-stake member of MoviePass, apparently.
He only sees good movies.
You know, the boat sinks.
You know, he was one of those champion for Gotti.
Superman dies.
But anyway, so, you know, I know who shot JR, damn it. that's an old reference for Christ's sake. But anyway, so let's end on that note there. On that note, you guys want to chime in with a couple of things before we sign off here?
I'm good, actually.
Cool.
I always shout out to my wife and kids. Just a reminder, Glow Season 2 drops on Friday on Netflix. Yes. Reviews are very positive, so must watch TV.
Yeah, I gotta balance. I got so much stuff to watch now. But that's on the menu. No doubt.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I finished watching Goliath, so we can talk about that whenever you get around to it.
Yeah, we'll jump into that stuff a little bit later.
We'll jump into it next week.
Preacher started last night.
I didn't see it. I didn't have time, but that's another one we'll get into. That. I might binge that one ultimately. I gotta make cuts somewhere.
Yeah, you gotta make room. Yeah,
I'm gonna watch it. I'm definitely gonna watch it. I like
Preacher. Well, now there's no Westworld now, so that's done. So maybe a Sunday's freed up with that.
That might help me out with that. So I think so. But anyway, so that's all the time we got. Once again, gentlemen, appreciate, of course, the input and all that. Guys, look us up on Facebook. Obviously, Mike, you know, I'll thank Dennis Baratheon for you, you know, since he didn't do that now on the show. I'll give a shout out. I got you.
Maybe one day we'll get a shout out from Stannis Baratheon.
Stannis, whatever. Yeah, he's dead anyway.
Yeah, I don't think he's feeling too well.
Yeah, he lost his head the other day. But either way, so we're going to keep joining the World Cup. Go Colombia. Hopefully we're in a
Colombia, good mood. Colombia. Colombia.
And that's it, guys. Appreciate it. Take care now.
My team's Inglaterra. All right. He's out.